This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. Hello and welcome to Beyond Performance, where we have candid conversations with high-performing people from all walks of life and distill actionable lessons we can take away and perform a little bit better every single day. I'm your host, Dana Bluen, and today, well, today is something altogether different. Today we look back at the past 12 weeks of amazing conversations with great guests here on Beyond Performance. I'm joined by BFM's Enterprise Executive Producer, Jeff Sandu, and he flips the script on me and puts me in the hot seat as we look back on the past 3 months of shows. Let's get into it.
So, Dana, Beyond Performance had a variety of individuals from various different sectors to help us understand how they push themselves to find success. What inspired you to do a series like this?
Jeff, I was actually really fortunate to be able to do this series. When I pitched it to you, I sort of half expected you to laugh me out of the office. So I am very thankful to you and BFM that you took a chance with me to explore the topic of performance through such an eclectic lens. You know, the seed, or I'll say the inspiration for this series, came from my own observations in life, you know, at various points along the way. You know, I've been afforded some very fortunate opportunities to interact with a wide range of people in various careers, trades, professions, and there are always these individuals who stick out for their performance, for their ability to succeed when the deck might be stacked against them. And, you know, these were the people that I wanted to explore, the ones who worked their way up and created success as a product of that work. You know, there's a special quality to that type of person that transcends performance, regardless if we're talking about, you know, a firefighter turned pro fighter and Javier, a nutrition researcher turned crafter and Jib, a national level hockey player who becomes an entrepreneur like Kim, someone who walked away from a career to pursue acting like David did, or an undersized, unassuming, masked Asian guy who rises to the very top of his game and becomes a champion pro wrestler like Cornelius. There's something special about that, something that we can all relate to and that we can all learn from. And I wanted to bring that to the forefront, not just to tell the story, but to bring those lessons to the listeners so that we can all learn from it and get better because of it.
Mm. Now, you know, I think we did 12 episodes in total. Are there similarities from all these individuals?
You know, that's actually a tougher question to answer than it seems, because there are layers that we have to peel back here to get to the core of it. Each of these people are successful in their field, and for each of them, success is defined differently. And because of that, I think knowing what success will look like for you is one of the strong similarities they all have in common. They all have an idea, a vision of what success looks like for them, you know, in that given field or that endeavor that they're undertaking at the moment. So they have that destination on the map. They're working to make their way there. That was one of the biggest takeaways. Define what success is for you, because I see they all do that. And for most of them, that goal isn't static. It's dynamic. It grows. It evolves. And you hear this come through pretty clearly in the episode with Dash. In the first part, we talk about his background in entrepreneurship. He had various goals along the way, and those evolved over time to the point where he's at now, where he wants to give back. And he now defines his success as helping others become successful entrepreneurs. We also saw something similar with Dr. Michael Allen in the last episode. His goals have always been about education and improving learning. And I would say he's certainly at the forefront of building the future of education. That goal has never changed for him, but the means have. As technology has changed, as it has evolved over the decades he's been in that space, he's refocused several times. You know, from his beginnings with Arthaware all the way to today, what he has going on with Zebra's apps, the medium has impacted his goals. And another strong similarity that came from just about everyone is the time, the effort they put into the craft. Jib spending 30 years perfecting her knit and crochet skills. Javier putting in repetitions in the gym, understanding the body mechanics, working to improve. David building experiences in life so that he can create context for characters from that. This is all part of that practice. I think a lot of people who listen to this might relate it to this concept of mastery taking 10,000 hours. But to me, this actually disproves that. None of the guests on the show ever sat down and said they were going to spend 10,000 hours to master something and they'll be successful. No. Each of them defined success and started working towards that goal. None of them ever stopped. They've been working at it ever since they started. And for every single person I talk to in this series, they are all well past 10,000 hours. And they're still getting better. They're still working to improve to this very day. The last thing that really came across to me was the focus on constant improvement in that practice. Each of them was constantly and consistently working to get better, working to be a success. There's a certain type of discipline there that allows them to always practice with intent, an intent to get better, to improve. Not a single one of them talked about just going through the motions to perform. Each of them, every single one of them, had the intent to improve with every step they took. Coming up after the break, Jeff and I take a look at some of the series' most teachable moments. You're listening to 89.9, The Business Station.
Big Friendly Matcha. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Now, from the 12, perhaps we could narrow down to maybe 3 standout insights. Were there any that you can share?
Oh, so many. I mean, to narrow it down to 3 is really, really stretching it for me, Jeff. You know, I think, you know, I was just so fortunate that we had 12 great guests. But, you know, when I think about it, you know, go back to the first episode, you know, there was a part where Javier was breaking down his process for practice and improvement. And for Javier, that meant putting himself in a situation where he didn't feel confident. You know, as a professional fighter, he would put himself in a position where he was vulnerable and he wanted to see how he would perform. And then he would review that performance. He would break it down and he would find avenues to improve. Let me play this clip here.
I look at every opponent and see what their strengths are and see if that will be an issue for me. If it is an issue, what can I do to address these? And then I apply them into my game.
Okay.
So every time I go to a practice or I'm getting prepared for this moment, I'm putting myself in the situations where I know that they're the strongest and seeing what I will react to it. And now, depending on how I perform in that, I go back, I write down, I have a process where every time I go, I have a focus for what I want to do that day. Maybe I get taken down by a very good wrestler and I can't get up. So I'm going to work from a half guard and work sweeps.
Okay.
And if they work, and then that's the goal for the day. Then after I say, okay, what are the 3 things I did well? I say, maybe I got that sweep 5 times in that sparring
session. A sweep
is
where you reverse the position of the other opponent.
So if an opponent were to take you down and hold you down, is there a way that I can get up into a top position where you're more dominant in mixed martial arts?
Okay.
But like I said, so then I have the process. I have my goal for the day for that session. Of practice, and then I have my 3 things that I did well. So mm-hmm. I always start off with a positive thing. So it's like, I got 5 sweeps today in sparring. Great. I landed a few jabs in this. I did a very good footwork drill or this, that, and 3 or footwork pattern in that.
Yep.
Once I got 3 things that I like, what is one thing I can improve on? So I find something in that situation where I felt uncomfortable or I felt like I'm in an uneasy state. I'm kind of a weird guy in that way, is that I go off feelings.
Okay.
So for me, a positive feeling is when I feel very like warm and light and very fluid in motion, both in firefighting and fighting.
Yeah.
And if I feel kind of like uneasy, I feel kind of like a deep-seated pit in my stomach. So that kind of always gives me the trigger of like, where did I feel it? Okay, when this guy took me down and wedged me in the cage, I felt claustrophobic and I had no answer for it. I didn't know what I was going to do. So he just sat there just hitting me in the corner, you know? And then, so then it's like, okay, well, that was what bothered me about the session. How can I improve upon that? Okay. So because I can look online with YouTube, I can ask coaches, somebody who's been there before you, some type of always a mentor, advisor, or a reference. So it could be from books, it can be from a teacher, it can be from any type of mentor.
So you're looking back at these people who have mentored you. You're looking at resources.
Yes.
And you're using that to address the situation of the things that you were working on.
Exactly.
Now, imagine the discipline and dedication it takes to put yourself in a vulnerable position every single day so you can work on getting better at it. That level of commitment to performance, that's just impressive. Now, building on that idea of work and process, in my episode with Jib, we talked about her design methodology. And at one point, we're discussing how she develops a prototype for her designs. Here, she talks about how it might take 2, 3, or more iterations of a prototype before she feels confident that she's created what she wants.
Make it just like prototype.
Okay.
To see, is it look like what you draw in the paper?
Mm.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, which is, it's that, but then...
That's what a prototype is for though, right?
Yes. Before like you can release your pattern, you have to test it first. It cannot just be calculation in the paper and say it is must like this. It cannot happen. Well, let's say it never happened to me.
Mm.
I have to... Try. Sometimes try it many times.
I was just about to ask, how many iterations of your prototype are there usually?
Let's say if it's easy piece, like flat one, like blanket or shawl, it might be 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky. No, I would say it's experience. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But if it's...
I like that. It's not luck, it's experience.
Yes,
right?
It's experience. It's true.
You've earned it. You've worked for it.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. But if it's like sweater with a complicated design, it can be like 3 times before you can think like, this is perfect.
Mm.
Mm.
Process and practice-wise, this is very much similar to Javier's approach. Jib builds the prototype piece, reviews it, finds problems with it, and then goes back to make improvements. Despite the fact that, you know, this could take her weeks or more to redo the prototype. That's a dedication to the process and clearly, I think, what makes her a standout in her field. You know, there was another clip in the last episode with Dr. Allen where he touched on how much time it takes to reach a level of high performance.
The limiting factors to becoming a high performer are often not what people focus on. So some of the limiting factors are your self-image. You know, I'll never be good at math. If you think that, you're right. You have to change the way you think about that, your attitude, your motivation. You know, so you're talking about people who are highly motivated, who are willing to kind of fight for themselves, to practice, you know. Those people can obviously get to a much greater level of proficiency. But if you expect to become expert in an hour, you know, and you don't see it and you give up, you know, you're not going to be there. I heard a motivational speaker some years ago talking with people after they had heard, I'm back to piano again, but had heard a great pianist give a recital. And as they were talking to her, they said, I'd give anything to be able to play like you can. And her response was, I don't think you would. You know, they just sort of have no idea how many hours and hours and hours she put into developing that skill. And most people are not willing to invest that much.
I think this really reinforces what I had sussed out from the other interviews, that there's no hard set number of 10,000 hours. It's something that truly high performers are constantly working on. Dr. Allen highlights here that we just can't become high performers in an hour, right? We need to have a mindset and understanding that this is going to take a very long time and we're going to have to constantly work at it. I love what he says there about the piano player. She was speaking in jest, but, you know, at the same time, understanding most people just see the performance. They see this beautiful, you know, performance of piano, this fantastic sound, but they don't understand the grind that went into getting there.
You know, I'm actually surprised that you could actually narrow down to three, because that was really difficult. So great job on your part for that as well. Now, based on what we've learned from this series, how do you think we should begin to start our journey on improving our performances?
You know, that's a great question, man. You know, for me, I've already started to make some small changes to start moving myself in that direction. And I started by defining what success looks like for me, because that's what I see almost all of them doing. You know, now that I have success defined, I'm working on building routines and disciplines to start having that intent-driven practice so that I can constantly improve. My takeaway is that it has to come in small changes. Dr. Allen didn't graduate college the person he is today. A lot of small changes happened along the way. Javier didn't win a world championship in his first fight. He worked towards that, and he made a lot of improvements along the way. So we can't expect to start out at success. It's something we have to work towards. All of us who listen to this series, though, have the benefit of now understanding those journeys and what went into them. So we can apply those lessons and hopefully come up with some shortcuts along the way. We can learn from these people on the show as our mentors. You know, we can apply those lessons and make something better for ourselves. And no matter what, just like the guests from the series, it's going to take a lot of trial and error to get us there. And that's fine. You know, it's supposed to. Everyone has bumps in the road. None of the guests in this series had it handed to them. They all worked for it. They all had to fight for it. And that's why they're all high performers, and why I think it's important we learn from them and people like them. Troy's episode was probably the best example. His company actually went bankrupt because of mistakes he made. But he learned from that experience. He turned his company around into the success it is today. That capacity to learn from your own mistakes and adapt is so key to performance. And I saw that across the board with everyone I talked to.
Now, Dana, the world is going through some challenging times at the moment. Let's share some positivity. What have you seen that gives you a sense of hope that things will get better and improve in the near future?
Oh, man. You know, if having this opportunity to talk to these 12 people taught me anything, it's that as individuals, we are the only real limit of our potential. But not a single person who I spoke to for this series made it happen on their own. Every single one of them learned from someone else, was given ideas from their interactions with others, and was helped up when they fell down. You know, what's going on right now is so scary, man. I'm on lockdown. You know, you're on lockdown. Our friends all over the world are having a hard time. But, you know, it's not going to last forever. We're going to get through it. And when we do, I hope that we all come together to do great things. Because as humans, individually, and as a whole, we have the capacity to perform at that level. So take this time, you know, take care of yourself. Work on yourself, get better. And when we can get back out into the world again, let's come together and make the most of it.
You know, Dana, thank you so much for allowing me to switch roles and actually get you to share your insights from the series. Thank you so much.
Jeff, thank you so much, man. I appreciate the opportunity. You've been listening to Beyond Performance on BFM. In this episode, we took a look back at some of the great conversations in this series and how we can apply them to our lives today. If you missed any of this conversation, you can find it on our website, bfm.my, our BFM app, and of course, on Spotify. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.